Earlier this month, Governor Bruce Rauner signed into law the Youth Sports Concussion Safety Act. Sarah Brumley is the head athletic trainer for Sportsology through Southern Illinois Healthcare's Rehab Unlimited. The group provides medical care to several area high schools. She explains the purpose of the new law.
It requires high schools to educate athletes, parents, and coaches on the signs and symptoms of a concussion, the risk factor of playing high school sports, and then how to properly return an athlete from a concussion.
The new law also requires the formation of a concussion oversight team, or COT, at all schools across the state. The team's primary function is to develop return-to-play protocols for student-athletes believed to have had a concussion. Sportsology program coordinator Sarah Yates says leaving the decision-making process up to medical professionals is the right thing to do.
The principals and athletic directors, they have a lot on their plate. And the coaches, they have a lot on their plate. And the last thing that they really need to hopefully worry about is a concussion and whether or not the kid is safe. Let the certified athletic trainer and the doctors take care of it. Let them say if they're safe or not so the coaches don't have to worry about it.
Anna Jonesboro High School head football coach Brett Dietering understands the thinking behind the COT, but he doesn't understand why the oversight team does not include a coach who is actually implementing the new changes.
If you want to tell me that, hey, you have to have a committee of five and your football coach can only be one person, and well, heck, everything could be voted down 4-1 if there was a true safety concern. You could keep things in place to make sure that there was some legitimacy to the program.
Dietering is also figuring out how to deal with a new IHSA policy that went into effect this week, limiting players to 90 minutes of contact in practice per week.
We figure that if we get 90 minutes for the week, that we're talking about 45 minutes on two different days.
To reduce the amount of contact, some high school football teams, including Anna Jonesboro, have purchased a tackling dummy system called Shadow Man. It's made of a specially selected PVC material that can be inflated with water or air. Coach Dietering says it simulates a game situation because you can tether it to a player so tacklers attack a moving target.
You're not looking at helmet-to-helmet contact sometimes where kids will, you know, lower a shoulder pad or they'll get a helmet to a knee or something to that effect. And so it's just one more tool to try and give them the skills to become better tacklers without actually practicing against a live body carrying the ball.
A.J. running back and defensive back Colin Prather says with the Shadow Man standing at 5 feet 6 inches tall and shaped similar to a pawn on a chessboard, it does an adequate job of filling in for a live person.
It's about the same size, but it's not as heavy. It's really light and bounces really quick.
In the midst of these changes, the IHSA faces a concussion lawsuit filed by a former player who claims the organization does not do enough to stem the potential damage from concussions. Among other things, the suit demands medical personnel be present at all football games and on call for all practices. Dietering says many schools throughout the state would have difficulty meeting that requirement.
In small school, rural America, especially in Illinois, you know, we don't have a doctor on our sideline. We have an athletic trainer, yeah. We've got some doctors who have, follow football and may be in the crowd, but they may not be there every day. And if you're expected to have those kinds of staff members on the sideline, unless you just get some people who are willing to volunteer to be a part of it, it might be a problem.
Despite these concerns, Yates says concussions need to be taken seriously because it doesn't take a big hit or even a hit to the head to cause brain trauma.
Your brain pretty much sits in fluid, so it doesn't have to be what I call those ESPN shows where everyone goes, oh, whoa, and it's obvious.
Yates says most long-term impacts from concussions, the ones we hear about in the news so often, occur on repetitive collisions.
That's where a lot of the lawsuits are coming from right now. It's called the second impact syndrome. So it's the second injury or concussion that occurs because the first one didn't heal correctly.
To make sure player safety is monitored accurately, Brumley says Sportsology conducts baseline testing for its athletes.
So then if they get a concussion that year, we'll come out and we give them the same test and we compare the two, and that gives us an idea how much they are affected from the concussion, and then once they return that test level kind of back to their normal baseline, then we know that they're getting better, and then we can slowly progress them back into physical activity.
The dangers of concussions are causing some parents to keep their children out of football. But Yates says the sport is actually becoming safer because of the growing information about head trauma.
I have a son of my own who plays junior football league, and everybody always says, I can't believe you let your son play football. I still think it's a great sport. I think it's safe. It's the knowledge of knowing your children, and if they come home and not feeling well and acting funny, go find someone to take a look at them.
Purdue University has done extensive research on the brain chemistry of high school football players. There's a link to the study accompanying this story on our website at wsiunews.org. Brad Palmer, WSIU Radio News.